Amen. Turning now to our scripture lesson this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Looking up, Jesus saw rich people throwing their gifts into the collection box for the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow throwing two small copper coins worth a penny. He said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than them all. All of them are giving out their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had to live on." Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for the things that you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So while this is firing up over here, have you ever found yourself to be a tourist and in a way that maybe made you feel a little bit uncomfortable? I mean, there are definitely places where it's okay to be a tourist, right? Here we go. Or maybe even worse, you ever been somewhere with your parents where they were very much the tourist and maybe looked like that? Because, man, I remember Dad with that white zinc stuff on his nose at the beach, and his nose would be the only thing that wouldn't get sunburned. Because he would take sunscreen, he would go to put it and rub it in, but he would be beet red with two white handprints right here where the sunscreen went on, and that was it. But I really love to travel. I love to see new things, but I kind of hate this feeling of being, the tourist. There's some places it's okay. Disney World is expected you're all a tourist. That's what you're there for. Going to the Grand Canyon and taking a selfie there, that's expected. Baseball Hall of Fame. Places you expect to see people walking out around with their cameras out, taking pictures and selfies. But it's a little bit different, say, when you go to New York or Chicago, because there are people that are also living their daily lives and working there. Even when you go to D.C., sure, D.C. is this touristy place that people go to the nation's capital, but don't you feel a little awkward when you see people who are busy trying to get to work and you feel like you're in their way? And you start to think, hopefully they have something very important to be doing that's more important than me, feeling in their way. But it's wonderful to go, and it's so much fun to go and see new places. I have been blessed to be able to travel to a lot of different places, and these are some of the places that I've actually been able to go and see. The Aztec ruins in Mexico, to be at the old palace in South Korea, to see the Parthenon, the Colosseum, to be able to travel around and see these places and just get the sense of wonder as you stand and you look at the Colosseum and think about how it was built. Before there were cranes and heavy equipment, that was built by hand, the sense of wonder. To be in Rome and stand outside of St. Peter's Basilica and just think of all the history, all the things that have taken place there. To walk through the halls and see tapestries and artwork that you read about, you see in books. To have this complete sense of wonder. To go into the Sistine Chapel. Now, even when you look at this picture, it seems a little chaotic, doesn't it? Like, we see the Sistine Chapel pictures, you often see an individual picture here or there to take in. But when you stand in this whole room, it's completely overwhelming. I remember when we were touring through the Vatican and went into the Sistine Chapel. I remember walking in and this room being really crowded. Like, man, what's going on in here? I'm kind of looking around. All of a sudden I stop and I look up. I'm like, oh, that's where we are. It didn't register at first. But I remember after just kind of standing looking around, walking back to kind of this viewpoint that we're looking at in this picture, and there was a bench in the back of the chapel, and just sitting on that bench for a little while just to try to take it all in. There's so much grandeur that is there. Just like seeing medieval cathedrals, and to see this artwork and this all this work that went in to build these huge standing cathedrals. And even in those cathedrals, you go inside and you see the artwork and how they're built. But as you look at this picture of this cathedral, where do you feel your eyes being drawn? Kind of up, right? Because you look and it's really kind of dark there at the bottom, but then you look up, you see the stained glass and the light going up. This one does a little bit better. Idea of the colors, this idea of our gaze being turned up to that beautiful stained glass. Even in how our church is set up, there's kind of this gaze upward with the high ceiling and things like that. They were built intentionally that way. They were designed to keep kind of this dark area there around the bottom. But as you come into those cathedrals, to be turning our eyes up towards the heavens and seeing the glory of God that is there above us. Even in Jesus' time, the temple was a place where eyes were turned towards the heavens. The Temple Mount sat on the highest point there in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem's kind of built on this little peninsula hill that kind of points down to the south. And on the top of it was the Temple Mount. And so any way you approach the city, you would be looking up to the top of the Temple Mount and seeing this building covered in white and that gold. It was truly a wonder to see, to have our eyes turned towards the heavens, to see that it was the most ornate building that was there around, with so much meaning. And so Jesus, being around the temple, he heard some people who were there that were talking about how wonderful it was, of how the stonework was so beautiful. With all the ornaments that were there were dedicated to God. But then Jesus spoke to them and said, there's going to come a time when there will be no stone left upon stone. Then the scripture lesson goes on and they begin to say, well, teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen? And Jesus says, watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name saying, I'm the one, it's time. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately. Then Jesus said to them, nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There'll be great earthquakes, wide-scale food shortages, epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all of this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They'll hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. There's a lot of trouble in that, isn't it? Here we are, just being happy, walking by, seeing the temple, saying, man, isn't that awesome? How beautiful it is. And then Jesus gives us these words that the temple will be destroyed. And that there is a lot of trouble going to happen. There's going to be wars, famine, epidemics, pandemics, disease, false prophets. The temple, that very symbol of God on earth, is going to crumble and be destroyed. We'll be arrested, brought before kings and governors. And we're supposed to be okay with this and not be scared or terrified. You know, Jesus is even beginning to foreshadow his death and saying the temple, that very symbol of God on earth, is going to crumble. Well, Jesus, the very Word made flesh walking among us, is going to face death. All these things are going to happen. We're going to be brought before kings and governors. And Jesus says, this will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Don't get your defense ready. But Jesus says, I'll give you words and wisdom so that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. By holding fast, you will gain your lives. Now, as I said before, when you look at a scripture text, you can usually find two things, trouble and grace. This passage seems to be a lot more full of trouble. It can be a challenge to arrive at a point of grace after hearing all these terrible things that are going to be going on. We know we face tough times. We face challenges each and every day. Our faith gets tested. Our patience gets tested. Some days we just wake up and like, nah, not today, I'm done. That happens, right? We feel that beat down. We might read a passage like this and say, man, all these bad things going on. We just feel that weight weighing down on us. And then Jesus saying, oh, don't worry. This gives you an opportunity to testify to your faith. Well, I hope my faith can last through all of that. When I read this scripture passage and I've studied it, I start to think maybe in the midst of all these terrible things, of this, even the temple being destroyed and ruined, maybe the message is that we need to stay focused. Because when those people were there wondering at the beauty of the temple, of all those ornate stones, maybe Jesus was a little upset saying, you're missing the point. Yes, it's beautiful, but it's not as beautiful as the one who it was built for. See, the world and the things of humankind can distract us. We can focus on all these great things of the world and maybe lose sight of the good things from the kingdom of God. There are so many things that would distract us. So many things that even seem to be good things, but are they really the God things? We need to remain focused on the things of God instead of those things of the world. Now, I really do love reading C.S. Lewis, and in his book, Surprised by Joy, where it talks about him moving from being an atheist to finding his faith, my favorite quote of that whole book is he's sitting up in his room one evening and says, you know, I was thinking to myself, a young atheist cannot guard his faith too closely. So he is trying actively to reject God, to be focused solely on the things of the world, but yet the sense of God's presence overwhelmed him, and he came to understand his sense of faith. God shows up even amidst all this destruction, all the terrifying things that we've been told about, the false prophets, the wars, the food shortages, the epidemics, and to know that there are moments of grace that come from this. Even we feel we're completely caught off guard. If we can stay in tune with God and keep a sliver of focus there, when the time comes for us to give our defense, even the one we have not prepared, God gives us the words and the wisdom that no one can contradict what we say. That is the grace. Nowhere does it say it's easy. I think maybe that's what faith is. If faith was easy, wouldn't everybody have it? There wouldn't be any problems. Sometimes faith is doing those hard things. Sure, sometimes faith is really easy. But true faith is doing the difficult things. And I found the difficult things often bring the most peace and meaning to life. Sometimes it stinks when you're going through the middle of those tough things. But we keep our focus on God, and our eyes are turned towards the heavens, just like those medieval cathedrals. Our focus and our gaze goes beyond the darkness of this world. Even though we see the beauty around us, we see past that fleeting beauty to the eternal beauty of what God is shining upon us. Maybe that's what Jesus means through all of this. To these tourists admiring the temple, to say the true beauty isn't in the stonework that's here, but it's in the beauty that God is giving to us through this place of worship. Maybe that's what our focus needs to be. We all face tough times. We all have those dark moments where we feel beaten down. We have those times we are caught off guard and our faith is tested. It's in those times I think God shines even brighter. And God puts people in our lives to help us see that. By holding fast, you will gain your lives. As hard as it can be sometimes, when we can hold on, God's light will shine upon us. And isn't it wonderful we don't have to hold on alone? We're all gathered here holding on together, supporting one another. Let us see past the fleeting beauty of this world, to see the eternal glow of God's love shining in each and every one of us, that we can live out our faith, and that light of God's kingdom will shine a little brighter among us all. Let us pray. Almighty God, sometimes your words to us are hard to hear. They speak of things that we don't wish to think about, things that we do all we can to avoid. Wars, persecution, hunger, sickness, disease. But Lord, these things are all around us. Lord, we sometimes face tough days. And in those tough days, give us the wisdom to hold fast to your faith. Give us the wisdom we need to give an accounting of our faith that cannot be contradicted. Lord, in days where our faith is full and we are full of joy, help us to seek out those who may need a little extra light to shine upon them. Lord, strengthen all of us. Knit us together. Help us to see past the very beautiful things that are here, to see the eternal glow behind them. Lord, help us to keep focused on your love and your light illumining every aspect of this world, even in those darkest of places. Allow us to bask in that eternal glow of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.